Blog Talk Radio.
We know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty in Christ for the pulling down of strongholds. We have to have a passion for unity in order to take back what's been stolen from us. Are you ready? It's time to tear down every plan of the enemy. Hallelujah! Because we are the church.
Let the church unite.
Take back this country from the hand of the enemy.
Let the church unite.
Get up, stand up, and fight. God's army is
light. Hey, hey, let the church unite. Together we stand, no weapon cannot conquer me. Let the church unite.
Well, good afternoon, and praise God, from whom all blessings flow. It is truly my joy to be with you at this time on the radio or the internet. Thank you for allowing me to come into your home, your car, or wherever you are listening to our radio broadcast. Come together for a change. Today is Monday, December the 14th, 2015. And my name is Senior Chaplain Shalia Griffith, your co-host, together with my anointed and amazing husband, Senior Chaplain Elder Hudson W. Griffith, the host of our dynamic radio broadcast entitled Come Together for Change, which is sponsored by our God-ordained and appointed ministries, which is Men in Search of Change and HWG Outreach Center for Change International. Now, our radio program entitled Come Together for Change is geared towards helping you make the necessary changes you need to accomplish your goals and God-given destiny through understanding the change process. And how many out there can actually say you know and you understand the change process? Now, the change process, understanding it, it's in order to help you be victorious in all that you do for God. Just know that God truly sits high, and he looks low, and he will take care of those who are obedient to his holy word. Now, did you know that happiness should not be measured by the material things that we have accumulated in this life? Since we cannot take anything with us when we leave, happiness should reflect our inner feelings and contentment that we show to others by the fruit of the Spirit that is within us. Amen? It is namely joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. By demonstrating these qualities, we show that we understand what living is all about. Loving our fellow man and keeping and helping to reach the lost. May the joys of this season be reflected in your attitude and not your possessions. Why? Because Jesus is the real reason for this season. Amen? Now, before you grab your Bible, your pen, and your notepad, why don't you do something very special for the ones that mean the very most to you by giving them a call, letting them know that Come Together for a Change is on the air in the blessed city of Las Vegas, Nevada, right now. Now, to listen to our radio broadcast now, all you have to do is dial 646-200-0578. So when you're calling up the people that you love and mean the most to you, just remember again, have them dial 646-200-0578 while the broadcast is on. We truly and surely don't want them to miss this anointed word of God today. And if perhaps you are just turning into our radio broadcast, or if you have missed any of our previous messages, you may simply go to Facebook under Hudson or Shalia Griffith to hear our previous messages. By doing that, you may go also to our website at www.meninsearchofchange. Click on the topic entitled Come Together for Change. At that time, scroll down to the bottom of the page and click on any date you wish to hear the entire broadcast. For our inspiration of this week, that was written by our own host of the radio broadcast, Come Together for Change, which is, of course, Senior Chaplain Elder Hudson W. Griffith, it reads as follows. There are a lot of people who are successful in this world. They've accomplished their goals in the public eye. But being successful isn't just about what you make happen for yourself. It's about what you make happen for others. You agree? It's when you realize God has blessed me not just to sit on my throne and let everybody see my accomplishments. God has blessed me to be a blessing to others. God has helped me to win so that I can help somebody else win. In other words, it's when you realize that God has helped me to overcome this addiction. Now I'm going to go find somebody else and help them overcome. Or God has blessed me with a happy family. I am going to go find a family that's struggling and help them get back on track. That's what being successful is really all about. Amen. Now, our topic for this week is the birth of the greatest change agent. I hope you have your pen and paper. Again, the topic for today and for this week, the birth of the greatest change agent. Our main scripture will be coming from St. Luke, the first chapter, the 30th through the 37th verse. There will be other verses and other chapters to go to, but for the main chapter, I will read it. Again, St. Luke, first chapter, the 30th through the 37th verse, and it reads as follows. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come unto thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." And the 37th verse, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Again, with God nothing on this earth shall be impossible. At this time, it really does give me an honor as well as a great pleasure to introduce to some and to present to others my husband, the anointed and gifted speaker of the hour, Senior Chaplain Elder Hudson W. Griffith.
Thank you very much, Shalia. It's a wonderful privilege to come your way another afternoon. And it's wonderful when we look outside to see all the preparations that are being made for the Christmas season. Somebody says, well, Jesus is not the reason for the season. But I beg to differ. It is because of Jesus that we are having Christmas. His name shall be called Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. And that's what Jesus came to do, to save his people from their sins. Now, I'm going to begin. You say, well, this is pretty early to be talking about Christmas. Well, it is not early for the people to be putting up the decorations. Some people have been putting up their decorations from since last month. The Christmas tree, all kinds of things that are necessary for Christmas have been demonstrated in the stores. And even though they don't want you to sell Christmas greetings, the problem is that they can't wipe out the fact that Jesus is the reason for the season. Because Jesus came to make a difference in this world. Because Jesus is the greatest change agent. It wasn't Confucius that made the difference. It wasn't Muhammad that made the difference. It wasn't even when we look at the history books, even of the history of this nation, we have seen great leaders, but none of them compared to Jesus. And I want to give you some scriptures to confirm that Jesus was the greatest change agent. First thing, in the Old Testament, the prophets of old prophesied that Jesus would come. And the thing that makes him so outstanding is the fact that his birth was different to anyone else. His birth was really different in the sense that it was foretold that he would be born of a virgin. And we would say that that's impossible. Look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14.
14 says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Okay, a virgin shall conceive. Now, you know that is historically, biologically, incorrect, because a virgin can't really conceive in the natural sense. And when the angel went to Mary and said to her that she was going to bring forth a child, that was the first thing that Mary said, right? And the angel had to explain it to her, right? If we look back at St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and we hear the angel talking to Mary, and verse 30, St. Luke's chapter 1, verse 30.
Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God.
And behold, go ahead.
And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.
Okay. So we hear the angel telling Mary that she should conceive and bring forth a child, and his name should be called Jesus. Now, it's important that we understand that the most important thing about the birth of Jesus was that he was not born according to the laws of this earth, but his birth was contrary to the laws of this earth, because he was born of a virgin. And when Mary asked about it, verse 35 of St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Go ahead. Verse 35, St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1.
35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Okay. Because Mary was a bit concerned herself, and in verse 34 she said, Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And she was told exactly what would happen, that she would be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And it was important to recognize that Jesus was not born by a human sperm as such, but he was his mother was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, and she bore a son unto him, unto Mary. So we see here that is the first and most significant thing that we should understand, that Jesus' birth was contrary to the laws of nature. It was contrary to the laws of nature. Also, it was prophesied by the prophets of old. All right? And even in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 34, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." So we see that it was not by accident. It was not by chance. His birth was foretold by the prophets of old, so that when the angels came and told Mary and Joseph, because the angel visited both of them and gave them instructions as to what should happen, because it was important for them to understand what God's word was saying to them, right? And way back in Isaiah chapter 9, we hear the prophet saying, verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Okay, so we see that Jesus' birth was foretold by the prophets of old. Not only was it foretold by the prophets of old, but his birth was foretold by the angels who came to both Mary and Joseph. Now, you would say that this is a strange thing, but you see, that's it. Jesus' birth, because he was a change agent, he was going to bring changes in this world that no one else could bring. He was going to bring changes that no one else could foresee. And he came, and just with a few, by getting together a couple of 12 men, they turned the world upside down. In the book of Acts, we hear the people saying, "These who have turned the world upside down have come hither." So we see that with 12 men, he turned the world upside down, because the people were confused at his teachings. The people were confounded by his teachings. The people were completely underestimated his teaching in some way, and really found blessings when they recognized that Jesus was the Son of God, was bringing changes in their life. Jesus was a great change agent, and people saw it. When the lame saw him, they came up to him and said, "Master, I would like to be healed." We see that the woman with the issue of blood, she came behind him and she touched his garments. And she said to herself, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed." And she touched the hem of his garment. And he said, "Who touched me?" Because he felt there was a special touch. There was something different that was happening. So the point is that Jesus, the change agent, came to bring changes in the lives of men, not only on the outside, but on the inside, because man's lives were filled with hatred and lust and envy. And by accepting Jesus into our hearts, we are able to see the difference in our own lives. And we are able to recognize that we need to be able to see real transformation. And until we are come to a point where we are willing to turn our lives over to him, we will really not understand what he's trying to teach us. And therefore, we must be able to understand his teaching. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here was the Apostle Paul taking up after Jesus and says, look, you have to present your bodies a living sacrifice holy and acceptable unto God. Why did you have to present your bodies? Why was it necessary that you present your bodies? Because the word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye? So when the word says to present your bodies, the physical, the outside part of you, a living sacrifice, and again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers and extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what was the Apostle Paul here trying to say? He was trying to say that, look, if you're not born again, if your life is not turned over to Jesus, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God which is inside you, because Jesus and the Holy Spirit indwells us and dwells inside of us. So we have to be able to understand that if we know that God is with us, we need to be able to understand that he is going to supply every need. He is going to look after us. And therefore, we have to understand that this great change agent, which was born first contrary to the biological things of nature, that's the first thing that was different about him. And if you want to be saved or receive him into your life, that's the first thing you have to know, that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary. He was born contrary to the laws of nature. That's the first thing. The second thing is you have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And the third thing you have to know is that he rose from the grave. And you have to know that these three things are important. Jesus not only was born different, not only died, but the fact that he was seen by 500 people going into heaven, and the fact that he is alive today. And since he is alive today, we can reach out to him by faith. We can talk to him. We can draw near to him. We can cleanse our hands, and we can submit to him. The word says, submit to God, and he will come near to you. He will draw near to you. And we have to be able to get rid of the things that hold us back. So as Jesus came as a change agent, first to change our mindset, first to change us from the inside, first to make sure that we understand that he is the God of the impossible, and that he will give us the relief that we need from our failures, from our sicknesses, from our weaknesses, from our bondages, from our lack of finances, from our inabilities to do the things that he would have us to do. So we have to recognize that Jesus was so important that his birth was foretold, that he would be born of David's family in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 7:12. And he would be born of a virgin in Isaiah 7:14. He would be born in Bethlehem, and that is in Micah 5:2. He would stay in Egypt for a while, that's in Hosea 11:1. He would live in Galilee, Isaiah 9:1-2. He would live in Nazareth. Even where he would live was foretold by the prophets of old. Nothing was left unattended. His birth, the fact that he was going to go into Egypt, the fact that he was going to live in Galilee. At one time he lived in Nazareth, and his coming would lead to the murder of Bethlehem's children. If you remember that Herod, then he realized that the shepherds did not come back to him. He told them to kill all the children 2 years and under. But by that time, Jesus was in Egypt, because the same angel that told Mary that she was going to have a child, that same angel came back to her and says, come on now, you have to go into Egypt for a little while. So we see that Jesus' birth was spectacular. And even so, the angel of the Lord said things to him, to his mother and father, that made it impossible for him to go wrong in the early days. When Herod thought that he would have gotten him by killing all the children 2 years and under, he was out of there. He was on his way to Egypt, because that's what he was told. That's where he was raised up. The thing about Egypt was the principal place of learning at that time. It was the place, it was the school of authority, as it were. And going to Egypt, there were things that he would learn that he probably would not have learned sitting in Nazareth or in Bethlehem. And therefore, his parents were told to take him into Egypt. I thank God that he went into Egypt, because he came back full of power and authority, and he spoke the word. He was able to read the word, and he was able to understand it at 11 years old. When he came back and went into the temple, he was able to teach them. He was able to speak truth to them. He was able to say things to them that they could not understand. And therefore, I just wanted to let you know that that's the first thing. We're going to continue this discussion about what Jesus, who he was. The first thing was he was born of a virgin. And then we're going to look at the fact that he was crucified. And the third thing is that he rose again. And the fact that if any of you want to reach him this evening, you can, by reaching out to him, by calling out to him, by searching your own heart and listening to your voice, because the devil wants to control our mind. And therefore, you have got to be able to say to the enemy, Satan, you will not control my mind. I give my mind over to God. I submit my life to God. And that's so important. You have got to learn to submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Every one of you that want Jesus in your life, you've got to resist the evil thoughts that come into your mind. You've got to resist the evil things, because Jesus is alive, and you've got to learn to speak to him. And as you speak to him, he is going to bring peace to your heart. He's going to bring joy to your heart. This Christmas, some of you are looking just for material things, and you're looking for a new pair of shoes. You're looking for a new iPod, and you're looking for things that will bring you material gain. But you just can't live by material things. You've got to recognize that God is the God of the impossible, and he will bring you the things that you need if you're willing to trust him. And even if you don't have him, peace in your heart, that is important. So the Prince of Peace has come to bring you to a point of victory and deliverance. I want to pray with you this evening that you will have the Prince of Peace in your heart, that regardless of what you get for Christmas, that you would be willing to be able to say, God, I thank you, I'm thankful. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing our prayer. Lord Jesus, for what you're doing. Have your own way. And right now, speak to the ears of those who are listening, that they may understand that you are the God of the impossible. You're the God of the miraculous. You're the God of the supernatural. And you can bring changes in their lives, just as you brought changes in the world by speaking in the hearts of people. So speak into their hearts and let them know that you are there to help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Senior Chaplain Elder Hudson W. Griffith and myself know that we are praying for you and believing for God's very best in your life. We thank you for listening to our podcast, Come Together for a Change. We would like to thank all of our supporters for our special thanks to our partners all the way from the Caribbean Island to St. Martin. We'd like to thank all of our financial supporters and all that have prayed with for our program and for us. May God bless you all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Weapons of all warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty in Christ for the pulling down of strongholds. We have to have a passion for unity in order to take back what's been stolen from us. Are you ready?